Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. First Lady Michelle Obama has been on tour for her new book, The Light We Carry. And during one recent event, she revealed that she intentionally waited until she left the White House to finally wear her hair in braids.
As Black women, we deal with it. The whole thing about, do you show up with your natural hair? You know, braids, y'all. You know, but you know, as First Lady, I did not wear braids.
The First Lady went on to describe being worried that the country was still adjusting to having a Black first family, and one that looked too Black might be too much. That hyper-awareness of how her hair could be perceived as bound up in the experiences of Black womanhood in America, even for those with positions like the First Lady or the queen of all media, Oprah Winfrey.
I've understood for a very long time how political hair really is, and how when we as Black women move through the world, we are making a statement in however we choose to wear our hair.
That's Winfrey speaking in the first episode of The Hair Tales. It's a new show from the Onyx Collective, now streaming on Hulu and on demand on OWN.
Every kink, curl, and coil in a Black woman's crown has a hair tale.
Through conversations with Black stylists, historians, celebrities, and more, Hair Tales celebrates the truth of who we are through the stories of our hair. Winfrey is co-executive producer, along with actor Tracy Ellis Ross, and...
I'm Michaela Angela Davis, creator and co-executive producer of The Hair Tales.
Since we can't see one another, and this is radio, and our audience can't see, how are you wearing your hair today?
It is up on top of my head in a very happy puff. I know people now call it pineapple or whatever, but it is a big Afro puff.
Now I want to ask you the question that your host, Tracy Ellis Ross, asks of all the guests on the show. When you were little, who did your hair?
Who did your hair is that portal opening question. I developed the Hair Tales using hair as a tool to talk about Black women's identity and humanity. And in doing the anthropological work and done hundreds of interviews with women all over and wanting to find the question that would sort of unlock the memory, because this is also about Black women's memory, right? And who did your hair became that question, right? Who did your hair is what starts a hair tale, whether it's on television with Tracy Ellis Ross or at a kitchen table at your house or, you know, on the yard at Howard, right? So who did my hair, who I sat in those quiet, sacred moments? Precious Butler, who is my grandmother.
And I love that her name is Precious, because sometimes those memories are precious. And at the same time, there can also be trauma or shame. Talk about that a little bit.
Melissa, that's literally why hair became this perfect metaphor for Black women's humanity and also just how we have to move through the world. We are constantly in both worlds, right? Like, yes, you're sitting in the sacred, beautiful moment with your grandmother, but at any moment, you may literally be burned. Or at any moment, there is a tangle that may rip the roots out of your head. Like, danger and pain are always companions in our lives as Black women, even as we create beauty and joy, right? And sisterhood. That's why these stories in our hair help us, you know, affirm the complexity of our existence and the beauty of our existence, but also helps explain, because I know people don't know who we are.
I was struck by a moment in the first episode where Oprah Winfrey recounts a hair tale from her early days as a reporter in Baltimore.
I remember once a woman's, you know, house had caught on fire, and she is like out in the yard in rollers, and I ask her to take the rollers out.
You know why? I'm with you.
Because I understood that the image of this woman standing in the yard with her rollers was somehow, she would be perceived as less because she's standing here in the yard with the rollers in her hair, even though your house just burned down. Mm-hmm.
the inhumanity, that's the starting point with a lot of Black women, and her, the complexity of that moment. Like you said, she's losing everything. There may be no compassion for you if you have curlers in your hair. And then you flash forward, I don't know, 30 years, 25 years, and where we are is encouraging. For some people I know during the pandemic, they learned how to braid their own hair or crochet their own hair to hold on to their sanity. Mm-hmm. And so that whole trajectory of from, you know, her being a young reporter to this moment of pandemonium, hair still being, you know, a way to talk about what we're going through. Again, a metaphor to showing us like where people are and where they're at. You know, I was having a conversation with a male friend and saying that his mother got so depressed during the pandemic. When she wasn't doing her hair is when he got really scared. Hmm. Wasn't like, you know, whether she lost or gained weight or whether she was sleeping. He was like, she wasn't doing her hair. And I thought, and I got really scared because he knew how much that meant to her. And her first, you know, visit back to the salon was like going back to church. Even more so, the salon is more democratic than any church I've ever been to, more open. You know, you could be sitting next to an atheist or a Muslim or a, you know, Pentecostal or a trans girl. Like, all of those people can be in a salon at one time. I don't know any sorority or church or any other social group that lets everybody in, like a beauty shop.
It's profoundly leveling and democratic as well, because the woman who is doing your hair may own that business, might have only graduated from high school, may not have quite finished high school. You may be a lawyer, a doctor, a candlestick maker, but boy, you are reliant on that person. Like, without her,
yes,
you're not keeping your job on Monday.
You're not keeping your mind. I mean, this is also really centered in the labor and Black women's labor. There have been Black women standing on their feet with their hands in our heads, giving us dignity to go to church, go to work, putting some money in our pockets so we go to college, holding down communities. It is Black women's, not just our labor, but our economy and our spaces. And one of the joys of doing the Hair Tales was also bringing in all the scholarship that has been done around Black women and Black women's hair, and particularly Dr. Tiffany Gill with Beauty Shop Politics, where in her text, that's what she lays out, is all the organizing work that has been done in beauty shops by beauty workers, because it was Black women were the clients, Black women's money, Black women's spaces. For instance, if you were a Pullman Porter and you went to an NAACP meeting, you could lose your job, you could lose your life. Nobody was checking for Black women doing hair. Those are just Black ladies. So they're in there doing clandestine NAACP meetings, registering people to vote, you know, hiding people out. Like, these are spaces of liberation and organization and creativity.
Talk to me about how the other creators, how the women who are giving us so much of their humanity, knowing that not everybody is watching with soft eyes or loving eyes or eyes seeking to understand.
White folks were so in the peripheral, like we weren't thinking about them. And I think that's part of the liberation of it. And also all the Black women, the cast and the crew were very Black. Behind the camera, it was very diverse. We had Michelle and Degacello was doing the music. Sible, who works with Saint Heron, did the graphics. So there were just Black women surrounding the project. And so creating this fortifying force field, so we didn't have to think about white people. And that's what is even going to make it better for them, right? Because this is also very much a Black women's space, you know, and they're getting to see it in this really authentic way. So everyone, if you just leave Black women alone, everybody benefits.
As you talk about not having to think about white folks, former First Lady Michelle Obama recently revealed that she intentionally waited until after leaving the White House to wear her hair in braids. I mean, I just sort of want to be like, I mean, it's not that we didn't know, but is that not wild?
Well, you know, it's so crazy because the first interview that I listened to with the former First Lady, Michelle Obama, was two dope queens. And she said, I just wanted to get out of there with some hair on my head. And the notion that there was pink lotion and flat irons and ovens in the White House was radical. There, you know, there was like wafts in the halls. You know there was.
It gave me such joy.
Such joy. Like, even if there was like a little bead or a little like barrette, a little black girl accoutrement just in the halls under those portraits, that shook it up. And so when the fact that she just, you know, said that, and Oprah said something similar. Oprah knew she couldn't be Oprah without taming her hair. Like, it's, we have to strategize. Because the hair is such a flashpoint for our blackness. Like, it is, it locates us and it connects us. And those are, those can be dangerous notions, that we are located in a Afrocentric world and we are connected as sisters, you know? And it's so, it's such a glorious expression of our divine imagination. Like, our the dynamic and imagination of Black women can be seen in our hair, through our hair.
Michaela Angela Davis, thank you for Hair Tales. Thank you for joining The Takeaway.
Oh, it's my pleasure, my joy, all of it.
Michaela Angela Davis, co-creator and executive producer of The Hair Tales.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.